Hello, respected viewers. It's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. And here I'm talking about the recent NATO summit, which took place in Vilnius, Lithuania. Significantly, Lithuania is a former Soviet republic, so it was not chosen just at random. And indeed, its president, who's been inaugurated last month, is an outspoken supporter of Ukrainian freedom. So that's all very disheartening for Putin's fascist regime. So all 31 members of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization were there, and highly unusually, they invited the president of a non-NATO country to attend, namely Volodymyr Zelensky, the president of the Ukrainian Republic. So he was there in his trademark combat fatigues, which he's not doffed since the day Russia began its illegal war of unprovoked aggression against Ukraine. So President Biden stopped off in the United Kingdom en route to Vilnius. He met Rishi Sunak tete-a-tete, and he also chatted with his most gracious majesty, Charles of that name, the third. But anyway, the summit, the two big items of the agenda are, is Sweden going to be allowed to join, and is Ukraine going to be allowed to join? I know Ukraine might seem more urgent because they're under attack right now, but Sweden is a much likelier prospect because not only are they not under attack, they haven't fought a war for over 200 years. They had a policy of the strictest neutrality. They didn't take part in the First World War, Second World War, even when German troops crossed their northern frontier on the way to attack Soviet troops in Finland. The Swedes chose not to do anything about this violation of their neutrality, lest it be provocative. That actually worked for them. They took tens of thousands of Danish Jews as refugees, saved their lives, and so on. And the Count Folke Bernadotte, their diplomat, he saved many Hungarian Jews' lives, later murdered by Zionists in Palestine. And they've had, they had Raoul Wallenberg, who did good work in the Second World War, but back to NATO. So Sweden wants to join, and that's great. Sweden, a country of 10 million people, very high on the Human Development Index, an excellent tech sector. Despite its Pacific image, it's actually a major arms exporter. So they have superb weapon systems, and now those will be provided to NATO. And I suppose the price of entry will be providing a lot of this to Ukraine for free, of course. I mean, the Ukrainians can't afford to pay, not a wealthy country anyway. Their economy has cratered 30% since this war began. There's the Black Sea Grain Initiative. The Ruskies are hinting they might end this unless sanctions against their banking sector are relaxed. It's up for renewal later this month. We haven't heard too much about ending it. So now my hunch is that Russia will begrudgingly allow it to continue, though they did try and destroy a grain warehouse in the port of Odessa the other day. Even if the BSGI goes ahead, they might make export of grain more difficult, because if the grain supply is cut off, that'll raise food prices in Bangladesh, in Egypt, in Syria, and other countries. And Egypt's fairly friendly with Russia. Syria is one of the very few countries to vote for Russia's invasion of Ukraine. So remember, it was food shortages in 2011 sparked off the Arab Spring and almost brought down Putin's favorite mass murderer in Syria. From a Ukrainian point of view, the NATO summit was only semi-successful because there's been no invitation to join NATO. Remember, the 31 member states, the most recent to accede was Finland, having cast off decades of neutrality, having been neutral for 78 years. Then it was sort of 1944, when the Soviets were defeated in the Second World War, they signed a treaty, they ceded some land to the Soviet Union, they agreed to never join any military alliance, have a limited military. So the Finns thought, we can't have a large military, we can have a superb one, have state-of-the-art equipment. They'd achieved interoperability with NATO some years ago. And now they've actually joined. Surprisingly, there's been little protests from Moscow saying this is a violation of this treaty. I know, I mean, it really sticks in the craw. It's quite noisome of them to get on their moral high horse and say, oh, you broke a treaty, when obviously Putin breaks them every single day. But it would be factually correct to say that Finland is in violation of that peace treaty. So we'd have to go more to quoque, which is one of Moscow's favorite games. Anyway, so Sweden joining is obviously bad news for Russia, even though they don't actually border Russia. They have a maybe maritime border, the Gulf of Bothnia onto the Baltic Sea, but the Swedes then might send more troops to countries which do border Russia, such as their Scandinavian neighbours, Norway and Finland, to some of the former Soviet republics like Latvia, Lithuania and Estonia, and indeed Poland, which borders the Kaliningrad exclave, as well as Belarus, where Russian troops are permanently stationed, maybe, you know, Hungary, Ukraine, and Slovakia, which border Ukraine, and, you know, they might be treating wounded people or whatever. Surprised that more wounded Ukrainian soldiers are not being treated in you know, hospitals of NATO countries, provided with prosthetic limbs and so on. You can get these smart prosthetic limbs, if your arms are blown off, work just as well as a normal one. Trouble is they cost over $100,000. So there's a very carefully worded statement released by NATO towards the end. They've established a NATO-Ukrainian council, and obviously Zelensky was allowed to address them. He was rapturously received by the Lithuanian public. He addressed them in the Ukrainian language, and he's known for his fantastic oracy. His oration was translated into the Lithuanian tongue as well. He pointed he does not speak Russian in public anymore, despite that being his mother tongue. At the beginning of the war, he did make some broadcasts to the Russian people saying, let's sit down at the table and try and negotiate this, when he thought that his country might be absolutely creamed. So it all goes back to the 2008 Bucharest summit of NATO. The Romania had only just joined NATO, former communist state, once been a Warsaw Pact member, occupied by the Red Army. But to saying that that NATO would eventually absorb Ukraine, as Ukraine so wished, and Russia didn't like that one. And the Russians obviously rue the day that they didn't actually put the foot down and manage to stop, Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia joining, which they see as their near abroad, their sphere of influence. Putin's unacceptance of the legitimacy and the sovereign independence of these erstwhile Soviet states is really the root cause of this terrible war, which has already claimed tens of thousands of lives, at least, including the United Nations estimates at least 10,000 civilians. At least, they said they're probably well behind on the civilian death toll. So Russia's, I suppose, at least glad an invitation hasn't been extended. It said that the Germans and the United States are the most circumspect about an invitation, because remember Article 5, were Ukraine to be admitted, they could invoke Article 5, an attack on one is an attack on all. Therefore, you must all declare war on Russia. That would be the Third World War. That could go nuclear very fast. There's this idea of putting NATO troops in Ukraine, but they could to only fight with conventional weapons. There could be some miscalculation. How does Putin back down? He's shown no sign of backing down. Crimea could be threatened. If he pulls out now, he could claim it some sort of success, not to lose Crimea, but he had about 10% of Ukraine before the war began in February last year. He got about another 10% and say that's a success, stop now. But remember the four regions he claimed to absorb into Russia last September. He's only ever occupied about half of each of those regions. He's only had the regional capital of one of them, Kherson, and now he doesn't even have that. But if he actually loses Crimea, which he had prior to 2022, that would be a loss overall. If Ukraine agreed never to join NATO, that'd be good. Now, NATO won't let Ukraine in whilst Russia occupies some of Ukraine. And I don't see how the Ukrainians are ever going to get back Crimea. It's hard to see this war being successful enough for them. The other thing that Putin is banking on is just stringing it out, saying the West has got the attention span of a mayfly. They'll eventually grow tired of this war. They'll be fed up paying money to Ukrainians, 6 billion euros a month from the European Union, just to sustain operations, pay essential salaries, and funding them with all this weaponry. And the peace movement will get going, and governments which are more congenial to the Kremlin will be ushered into office. So it's vital to demonstrate to Putin that that's a forlorn hope, that that ain't going to happen, that Western willpower is not flagging. Because once he perceives this isn't going to happen, he might have to find some sort of face-saving way to back down. The olive branch was offered to him last year by Macron as well as others, but you know this did not bear fruit. So, a formal invitation to the Ukraine would be great. But remember, you need all 31 member states to say yes to this. Hungary is fairly friendly towards Russia, has got exemptions to the European Union sanctions on Russia, getting the cheap oil and gas. Turkey's not imposed any sanctions whatsoever on Russia. So either one of them could veto it. Other nation states could veto it. And it was quite difficult to get Finland in. Remember, that took almost a year. And like Sweden, it's taken like about a year and a half. And the Turks seem to have finally been won round in return from the Americans are going to finally sell them F-16 jets. And the Swedes are going to extradite some people whom Turkey regards as terrorists and so on. It's been made more difficult by ultra-nationalist elements in Sweden burning the Quran in public. Right. So thank you so much for watching my channel. And I urgently need donations to keep this channel going. So please dig deep, put your hand into your pocket and give me all your credit card details. Apart from that, you could donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Right, toodle-pip.